pathway to high destiny. God has a destiny on high for us. And what is our pathway to our high destiny in God? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, all the way to verse 2. He said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." The word is set. The Lord will set you on high. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Our objective today is to understand what it takes, or rather understanding the way to our high place in God. Understanding the pathway to our high place in God. It is confirmed in scripture that the high place is the place for God's people. The high place, that is the place for God's people. The destiny of God's people is a high destiny, spiritually, socially, materially. It's a high destiny in all realms. God has no place for his own other than the top. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 13, Deuteronomy 32 and in verse 13, he said, "As the eagle stare," all right, "he made him ride on the high places of the earth." God is making Israel to ride on the high places of the earth. Isaiah 58 and in verse 14, he said, "Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." Not the low places, not struggling places, not places of frustration. The high places of the earth. Lift your voice and say, "The high place." Say it louder. Say, "The high place is my place." Spiritual. The men and women who pursue God, they find themselves in the high place, the high places of life. Matthew 6, 33. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom. The high place is a product of the pursuit of God. Listen, heart for God is the guarantee of height in life. Heart for God is the guarantee of height in also the pursuit of God equals the possession of good. It is not possible for a man to pursue God and not possess good. You look at David. Psalm 63, verse 8. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Hard chase for God equals high flight in life. My soul followeth hard after thee. I am pursuing you hard. High flight, hard chase for God equals high flight in life. That was David, King Uzziah, in 2 Kings 26 and in verse 5. He said, 2 Chronicles 26 and in verse 5, the Bible said, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he pursued God, God made him to prosper. God is the maker of those who pursue him. You cannot pursue God and not be made. God manufactures you into what he wants you to be. Many are pursuing gold. Many are pursuing the transient things of this life. And they are left empty-handed. The pursuit of God is number one. Look at your neighbor, say, pursue God. Other things will pursue you. These people flew all the way, paid their air flight, pay everything to come here, not to come for business, not to come to make money, but to come to pursue God. 60 people from China. They passed through Lagos, came through ministers' conference, and then they are here right now in the glory dome. We'll be here to catch more fire before returning back. And then we have delegation again from South America. Businessman is among them, pastors among them, and so forth. And they came here to come in their pursuit of God, paid their airfare. There are people in Lube here that are finding it difficult to go to church. And God weighs our heart before he determines our height. Did you hear what I said? He weighs our heart before determining our height. Number two is the fear of God. What is it that will take you to your high destiny? Is the fear of God. The fear of God is a lifter of people. The fear of God lifts people. It lifts people. The fear of God includes living a God-honoring life and a God-pleasing life. When we say a man fears God, a woman fears God, it means she lives a life that honors God publicly and privately. He lives a life that pleases God. That was what lifted Job. Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect and upright, and he feared God. That put him above his contemporaries. Another example was Joseph. In Genesis 42 and in verse 18, Joseph said, this do for I fear God. That fear of God, it put him as the deputy ruler of Egypt. The deputy ruler of Egypt. The fear of God. That was Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. So we have three examples. One was Job. One was Joseph. One was Daniel. Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. That took Daniel and made him number 2 in the kingdom. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 4 all the way to verse 5. Daniel 6 4. Then the presidents and priests sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in Daniel. He honored God with his life, and God made him number 2. What of our master Jesus? Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Is God pleased with your life? Do you honor God in your office? Do you honor God in your family? Do you honor God before your children? Somebody asked me one day, he said, what did you do to get your children to follow you in the way of the Lord? Not that you force them to go to church, but they are eager to jump out and dance and do all these things. I said, just be a Christian in their front. Be a Christian. Just by the time you are wanting in their front and something else outside, a little child was telling his friend that one of the pastors in their church, that is the baby, is the child of one of the pastors. And they were talking. I said, tell me something about your father. His father, who is a minister, who sits on the altar? He said, my father, at some time when they used to fast in church, he doesn't used to fast. When they say we should fast, he used to eat. You can imagine how that kind of child will perceive God, perceive church, perceive spirituality. In the 70s, we used to sing, Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Somebody say amen. Fear God. Please him with your life. Honor him publicly, privately. And he will lift you up. Number three. Is the voice, in bracket, direction of God. The voice of God. The direction of God is a lifter of people. It was the voice of God that took Abraham from obscurity and made him a generational celebrity. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 to 2, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 2, he said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Hearken to his voice, he will set you on high. The voice of God, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. He took Abraham, he gave Abraham direction, and took him from the background of obscurity unto generational limelight. Background of obscurity unto generational limelight. The voice of the Lord came to him, and he moved, and he acted on that voice, and that took him high. Number two example, Isaac. Genesis 26 and in verse 1 to verse 3. There was a famine in the land, and God told Isaac not to go into the land of the Philistines, but to remain where he was, and that he was going to
not to go down to Egypt, but to remain where he was, and he was going to bless him. And Isaac hearkened to the voice of God. And the rest of it is history, like they say. In chapter 12, in verse 12 all the way, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him.
If you listen to the voice of God, you become the envy of your generation. You become the envy of your generation. If you can listen to the voice of God. The voice of God made Isaac mightier than nation, a whole nation.
Genesis 26 and in verse 16. They told Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. The voice of God made Isaac mightier than the whole nation because he had God.
David was a master of listening to God. Psalm 85 and in verse 8. He said, I will hear what the Lord will speak. I will hear. I am on alert to hear God. And finally, our master Jesus. In John chapter 5 verse 30, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I'm not struggling to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That is our master. Question I want to ask is, whose voice is the most important voice in your life? Some people is the voice of a friend, the voice of a man, a woman. Some is the voice of society, what people are saying, the popular direction of society. But if the voice of God is more important to you than any other voice, and when I say the voice of God, it's not necessarily he spoke into your ears or you saw a vision. The voice that comes out of the scripture, what you know to be the truth, what you know to be the right thing to do. If you can listen to this now, are you ready for this? If you can follow God's voice, he makes you a voice. Those who hear God, those who are connected to God's voice, becomes voices in their generation. They become voices. You can become a voice that people will hear. You can become somebody that people will not say, who is that? And who does he think he is? You become a generational voice. Somebody place your hand on your ears. Say, Father, open my ears. Say it louder. Say, open my ears. Let me hear you. Hear you clearly. In the name of Jesus, let me not miss what you are saying per time. In Jesus' name. God has something to say. God has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay close attention. For God has something to say. Struggle to hear God. Do whatever you can to hear God. Pray. Ask him. Open the Bible and ask him to open it for you. Ask that his voice will come out of the Bible. He will direct you into a business that will take you to the top. He will direct you to carry out an endeavor that will take you to the top. He will direct you to take a step and make a move that will make you a generational envy. And I prophesy to someone here today, you will hear God the next time. You will see what God is saying. And number four, which is the focus of this service, is the mercy of God. The mercy of God is behind the lifting of people. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, all the way to verse 16. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? Esau is the senior brother. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God who show mercy. God can leave you with all your talent and pride and elevate by his mercy somebody who is less than you if you are too proud. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Some people look at us today and they are wondering, why must it be him? Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
Not of him. Some people fasted more than us. Some people studied more than us. Some people did many things more than us. But it is mercy. It is that mercy I want you to apply for today. Mercy, mercy. It's not of him that. Otherwise, why will you say it is the son of a woman who committed adultery with David, who David killed the husband and sent him to battlefield, Uriah the Hittite? It is the son of that one by name Solomon that you say God say he chose to be king after his father. Why? I'm sure you know the story of Uriah the Hittite, David and Beersheba. So there are many, many things about God we cannot understand. So I want you to pack aside your qualifications and subscribe under mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Pack aside your qualifications. Pack aside your right. Pack aside anything that makes you feel like you deserve to be this or that. And say, Lord, I pack everything aside. I dive under mercy. You see it? It's 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 to 25. 2 Samuel 12, 24 to 25. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, who was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, went into her, lay with her, she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, the same prophet that came and judged David, and called his name Jedidiah, loved of God because of the Lord. How can you love Pekin that came out of such a relationship? And then later on you say he will be king. I can tell you that Solomon, without any trace of equivocation or prevarication or oscillation or vacillation, I can tell you that Solomon had a hard time growing. As all the children of the legitimate wives saw him come, say, look at you. Bad boy. Yeah, yeah, boy. A shallow Pekin. Child of prostitute. Our father is not your father. Go and look for your father. Your father died in the battlefield. Eh? Your mother, yeah, yeah, woman. A climate of rejection. A climate of ostracization, a climate of prejudice, and he grew up in that hostility. And when God saw that no matter how bad his mother was, the boy has paid the price enough, it's okay, you'll be the king. Ahead of all those who think they are qualified. Ahead of all those who think they are legitimate children, you be the king. Don't overclaim right in front of God. Just surrender, submit, subscribe to mercy. That was what of David himself? David himself was picked by mercy. Because everybody abandoned him. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 from verse 1 to verse 3. When God sent Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. Because there was a king there. And he asked Jesse to present all his children.
because God sent him to anoint a king. Jesse presented everybody except David. To serve your father well, is that a crime? He was the only one looking after the sheep. But apart from that, there were other situations. Father didn't love him. Mother didn't like him. Brothers didn't like him. When they gathered everybody, at least one person should have said, somebody is missing. David is not here. Nobody said it. Until the oil could not pour on the head of anybody. All the coconut head that they brought. Oil, no way. Oil here, no way. Oil here, no way. What's going on? Are not all these your children? No, there is one in the bush. Send for him. As soon as he arrived, God say, arise, anoint him. He is the man. Now, I think I get something. I get something. When Samuel came, he told all of them to sanctify themselves. That is, clean your life. You are all dirty. They cleaned their lives. But still, it was none of them. When David arrived, he didn't ask him to clean his life. He said, arrive and anoint him, because he arrived cleaned. So I think that must be part of the challenge. Why are you claiming that you are holier than all of us? That's another case. Because in Psalm 27 verse 10, the Bible said, he said, when my father and my mother forsook me, when it was time to be anointed and nobody spoke for me, then God took me up. God is taking somebody up. I don't know who has ganged up against you. I don't know where the conspiracy is from. I don't know who hates your face or hates your God or hates your God or hates your Bible. In the affront, God will lift you up. He gave us a revelation. In Psalm 23, verse 5, he said, you anointed me in front of all my enemies. When was David anointed? Was he not in front of his fathers, his brothers and sisters and family members? They were household enemies. You anointed me in front of my enemies. You anointed me in front of my enemies. You prepared a table. That somebody say mercy. No wonder the Bible called it the sure mercies of David. I will extend to you the sure mercies of David. Somebody get ready, because mercy shall distinguish you. Mercy shall set you apart. Somebody incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Somebody who is ready for mercy, shout mercy. That is the mystery of God's mercy. It takes people up. It was mercy on Paul the apostle. I labored more abundantly than them all, but it was not me. It was the grace or the mercy of God. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9 and 10 that labored through me. A man who was meant to be a murderer became the star apostle by the mercy of God. That mercy is coming your way. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. How many of us are set for mercy today? Lift your hands, your right hand, and scream mercy 5 times. 2, 3, 4, and 5. This time around, you are going to scream that mercy 5 times and scream it louder. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your mercy.
that lifts me up. I come before you today. Place in my heart fresh passion to pursue you. In the name of Jesus. The fresh baptism of the fear of God. In the name of Jesus. Connect me, Lord, with your voice of direction. In the name of Jesus. And today, Lord, I apply for your mercy. Pray for the next 30 seconds. Open your mouth and pray. I apply for your mercy. Fill my heart today to overflow. All the Lord commandeth me. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill to overflow. With a whole ghost. You are about to take a paper and write your mercy list. But the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, mercy list means areas of your life where you need mercy. I will identify some for you now shortly. But you are here this morning and you are saying to me, Pastor, I want to give myself to God. I want mercy for the forgiveness of my sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. So if you want this mercy we are talking about, you must confess and forsake your sins. Everywhere you are this afternoon, you are asking, Pastor, I want my sins forgiven. Please take your seat. I want mercy for the forgiveness of my sins. Place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. And pray it loud. Now say it. Lord Jesus, I'm not hearing you. Lord Jesus, everywhere you are, on the gallery, on the overflows, say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. In Jesus' name, amen. Those who pray that prayer, can I see your hand? Wave it. Wave it. I see a crowd there. I hope the crowd from Jahi is there. Wave it high. All over the crowd, can I see your hand? Wave it high. Put it high. Those on the gallery, can I see your hand? All right, I see plenty hands on the gallery. Ushers on the gallery, please ensure you direct them right here. I want you to rush to the altar here as fast as you can. While they are coming, those of us writing our mercy list, go on ahead. Give the Lord a clap as they come. Be the first to be on this altar. While you are coming, come with your Bibles and your bags. Everything you came to church with, don't leave anything behind. Come with everything, everything. I'll give you the count of 30. To give room for those coming from the gallery. One.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Two.
I give my soul.
Run, 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 run. Three.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take.
Four.
Every moment I'm away.
Run, run, run. Five.
Lord, have your way.
From the gallery.
Lord, I give
you. Come and give your life to Jesus. Six.
I live for you alone.
Seven.
Eight. Nine.
from the galleries. I see them coming through the staircase. Run, run, run. 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10. 11. 12, 13.
I live for you alone.
14. 15. 16. 17, 18, 19, 20. 21, 22. 23, 24. 25. 26. 27. 28. 29. And 30.
Counselors, just hold on. We are not moving now, so just hold on. We are closing right now. And so, anyone else, anywhere you are bound by the spell of smoking and drinking, masturbation, pornography, fornication, lying, cheating, duping, stealing, Indian hemp smoking, something tied your life, something bound your life. You want that yoke broken? I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
I've got my mind made up, and I won't cry,
because I want to see my
children. Help that woman there.
Someday,
2.
Got my mind
keep quickly, come forward.
And I won't talk back, because I won't see my children.
Someday, I've got my mind, I've got. And I want to
see my Jesus someday.
I don't have
my made up, and I won't see my Jesus.
Say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
To go God's way.
Place your hand on your chest and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I've come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, it is my decision to follow you. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God be released upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.